WMFO Digital Clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. Now at 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's two, yes, two of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. All the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dong-daring you since 1990. Even when we got to get used to being on time again, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank, coming up in around about an hour, probably midnight five. It will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks and months. As happens every year around this time, we return to our regular schedule of 2 hours precisely. Well, let's call it 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds, because this is the week that the students return to Tufts for the fall semester. We do have a program following us, so therefore, we will be wrapping up on time at 1 a.m. More about that later, because that means we got plenty to jam in, as usual, but less time to jam it, especially as we're doing a free association tonight. You gave me words over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group. They made me think of things. I will now play them for you, the listener, right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Talking about free.
Is that what you're calling it?
about free.
Ha 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 Can we have your name, sir?
Maston, Bob Maston.
Bob, we can now get into the human brain. We can listen to what the brain is thinking even before the being who possesses the brain expresses that thought. Is it your feeling that this is going a little too far?
No, I think it's like any other discovery. Fire, explosives, anything else.
Would you be interested yourself in finding out what your brain was thinking and listening to those thoughts?
Well, if it would accomplish something. For the, it's like listening to gossip. Gossip is no good. But if there's a thought behind it, a purpose in it, then it would be interesting.
What essentially it boils down to is a device would be, a recording device would be lowered into your brain after a surgical opening. It would be lowered into your brain and it would record thoughts that are just being formulated at the time that the device was lowered into your brain. You would go along with this, wouldn't you?
What would be the purpose of it?
Well, a recording would be made.
Well, it would depend. What would be gained out of it?
It would...
Would it help somebody? Would it aid me?
It would...
Would it be an advantage to it?
Sure. Insofar as your personal benefit is concerned, you would have privy. You would have access to a thought that was being formulated in your brain that might never reach a conscious level. Hmm. That's what it would... That's how you would gain. Others would gain in another way.
In other words, what you're doing, you're probing the subconscious to bring it out to attention of your conscious mind.
Right.
Right. And then we're going to put it on a phonograph record.
Well, now that would be interesting.
Would you be willing to go along with it? Would you be willing to contribute your thoughts?
Contribute?
We want to open your head up and make a recording, right?
That's what it boils down to.
Who's going to do it?
We're trying to make a buck, just like everybody else, let's face it.
We're going to turn out an LP, get it in stores. It'll be your thoughts. You won't make any money on it. Mm-hmm. It'll be your thoughts, and we'll make the money because we perform the operation if it comes out.
You would get to hear your own thoughts. That's what it would boil down to. All we're asking you to do is to accompany us to a room in this area. It's not an involved operation.
The fact that you aren't doctors in the first place, I would never let anyone operate or do anything to me that wasn't a medically approved.
This isn't medical. This is idiotic.
This isn't medical.
We got our background is mostly in carpentry. We use carpentry tools. We have a regular bit drill. We drill right into your head, just like a 2x4.
I think that you should stick to drilling wood and not my head.
I think your concept of it is perhaps a little unrealistic. It's just a very simple matter.
Well, you know the saying, the cure was wonderful, but the patient died. Thank you.
frequently one is shorter as a group. All are the same height, but frequently one is shorter as a group. All are the same height, but frequently one is shorter.
I do have a cause, though. It is obscenity. I'm for it. Thank you. Unfortunately, the civil liberties types who are fighting this issue have to fight it, owing to the nature of the laws, as a matter of freedom of speech and stifling of free expression and so on. But we know what's really involved. Dirty books are fun. That's all there is to it. But you can't get up in the court and say that, I suppose. Simply a matter of freedom of pleasure, a right which is not guaranteed by the Constitution, unfortunately. Anyway, since people seem to be marching for their causes these days, I have here a march for mine. It's called Smut. Give me smut and nothing but a dirty novel I can't shut if it's uncut and unsut. Tull. I've never quibbled if it was ribald, I would devour where others merely nibbled. As the judge remarked the day that he acquitted my Aunt Hortense, to be smut, it must be utterly without redeeming social importance. Pornographic pictures I adore, indecent magazines galore. I like them more if they're hardcore. On the obscene movies, murals, postcards, neckties, samplers, stained glass windows, tattoos, anything. More, I'm still not satisfied. Stories of tortures used by debauchers, lurid, licentious, and vile, make me smile. Novels that pander to my taste for candor give me a pleasure sublime. Let's face it, I love slime. All books can be indecent books, though recent books are bolder. For filth, I'm glad to say, is in the mind of the beholder. When correctly viewed, everything is lewd. I could tell you things about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz. There's a dirty old man. Book like Fanny Hill, and I suppose I always will, if it is swill and really filthy. Who needs a hobby like tennis or philately? I've got a hobby, rereading Lady Chatterley. But now they're trying to take it all away from us unless we take a stand, and hand in hand we fight for freedom of the press. In other words, smut, I love it. Ah, the adventures of a slut. Oh, I'm a market they can't glut. I don't know what compares with smut. Hip, hip, hooray, let's hear it for the Supreme Court. Don't let them take it away.
You know it's a tough one, please. You know the stuff that she talks about, the way she walks. I make a man in the streets. I make a dumb man talk. I make a woman, oh baby, get up and walk. I know she must be from a different planet. You know it's a tough one, please. You know she must be from a different planet.
You got me doing things, baby, I need a lot of it.
Still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Melinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. Yes, indeed, that was 30 minutes. And it was 30 minutes jam-packed with free association silliness. I'd like to thank everybody for your assistance in the matter. I couldn't do it without you, as usual. But of course, as you know, if you're a regular listener here at Bubbles in the Think Tank, you know that there's a ton of silliness left to go before we get to the radio obituaries, so let's get right back to it, right here, at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
A thigh skirt, a thigh sweater, thigh skirt, thigh sweater, thigh skirt, thigh sweater. I know I oughta started my homework, but when she come around, I just gotta look. She's the cutest looking baby that I ever did see.
A thigh skirt and sweater, yes sir.
Thank you.
she's real cool.
Tie skirt, tie sweater. Bag. When I come home, start an argument. Just to keep me from asking where my booze and went. Walk in the front door, I hear the back door slam. Peek out my window, saw you with another man. Trick bag. We had a fight. Danny, you got mad. Phone and telephone. Called your mom and dad. They came a running down with the bats in their hands. Don't you hit her no more, you understand? What I thought was in the bed. Trick bag. You done me wrong, but I know I was right. It wasn't I that started the fight. She is my daughter, and I'm her pawn. You ain't nothing but a son-in-law. But I saw her getting ready across the fence. Heard her telling Willie, I don't have no friends. The way you've been acting is such a trick. You just put me in a trick bag. But I saw her getting ready across the fence. Heard her telling Willie, I don't have no friends. The way you've been acting is such a trick. A trick bag.
Mr. Perkins come down to my place this morning and asked me if I would build him a new privy. Well, I said, Mr. Perkins, where was you aiming for to build it? He said, t'other side of the lot by the lilacs, and then it'd be real pleasant in the spring. Well, I said, Mr. Perkins, it's your privy. And I got as far as the floorboards when Mr. Perkins come out, and he said, "Sire, I've been thinking some more about this privy, and if it's t'other side of the lot by the lilacs, it's going to be awful fur in the winter." He said, "If it was over this side of the lot by the chestnuts, it'd be much more convenient them cold winter months." Well, I said, "Mr. Perkins, it's your privy." Well, I got as far as the roofing, and Mr. Perkins come out, and he said, "Sire, I've been thinking some more about this privy of mine. And it seems to me if it's this side of the lot by the chestnuts, what with the prevailing wind being south-south-west, and the house standing just north-north-east of that privy, it's going to be awful uncomfortable for the lady folks in the kitchen during the summer months. So I think if we had this privy halfway between the lilacs and the chestnuts, then neither would it be too far in the winter nor too close in the summer." Well, I said, "Mr. Perkins, it's your privy." And I got as far as what you might call the interior decorating when Mr. Perkins come out, and he was all het up. He said, "Consanit, Si, I told you from the very start that I wanted a two-hole privy, and there you've gone ahead and framed it up as a one-hole." "Oh," well, I said, "Mr. Perkins, it's your privy, and I don't want to seem to be dictating to you or nothing like that, but it seemed to me that if I'd framed it up as a two-holer, and you'd come out to it some night, shall we say, pressed for time, before you made up your mind which one of them two holes set on, Mr. Perkins, be too late, that's all."
A place to live. You can help. For free information, write to me, Ricardo Montalban, at the National Wildlife Federation, Department 200X, Washington, D.C., 20036.
Once there was a woman who had a problem. She collected cats and tried to save them. She went away and paid a friend to of all the cats, but he forgot to. Complained of intense odors. One was even quoted, worse than baby's diapers. Cops then arrived at her home. Here's what they saw. Cats rejoicing. Judge put her in the pen. False accusations and rumors flew. Everybody knew. Although she always told the truth. A man.
It's just a bread, I see it. It's just a bread.
A hammer, a hammer, a sword buster, yay, yay, yeah. A sword buster, yay, yay. I should have stayed in school and learned the golden rules, cause I'm a sword buster, yay, yeah. I could have been a doctor or a teacher and had myself a pocket full of bread. I could have been a lawyer or a preacher,
but I lost my head. I'm busting suds.
I'm a sud buster, yay, yay, yeah. A sud buster, yay, yay. I should have stayed in school and learned the golden rules, cause I'm a sud buster, yay, yeah. So listen, buddy boy, don't be too anxious and get your lesson each and every day. Or the boss will stand behind you saying,
I'll do your work, you jerk, I'll do your work.
I'm a sud buster, yay, yay, yeah. A sud buster, yay, yay. I should have stayed in school and learned the golden rule, cause I'm a sud buster, yay, yeah. Behind you say,
I do your work, you jerk, I do your work.
I'm a sud buster, yay, yay, yeah. A sud buster, yay, yay. I should have stayed in school and learned the golden rules, cause I'm a sud buster, yay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What, yeah. Where is Mr. Jack Bailey of Hollywood, California? I've heard that name before.
I believe that's me.
Star of Truth and Consequences, originating...
No, I've never been on that show at all. No.
Now, think of it, he doesn't have a long beard, and he's not bald-headed.
And no, I'm Jack Bailey, the famous brain surgeon.
Oh, well, I didn't... You know, I'm sorry I made the mistake. I thought you were the Jack Bailey.
Well, I consider myself the Jack Bailey.
Well, you could be, but he doesn't wear shoes. I just happen to notice your feet there. Your toes curl up in front, have little bells on them, don't they?
Yeah, but that's the shoe I'm wearing.
I know, but I know he doesn't wear that kind. I've seen him on TV.
These are shoes for eccentric guys like me.
But
I mean, you know, it's a push,
and
I'm in a giggle.
Will you operate on my brain? Do they see those shoes? Do they think anything or say anything?
No, no, I don't wear them around the office. I go barefoot there.
Oh, well, that should set their minds at ease, I suppose. What are you doing here in town?
I'm here for a head trepanning job myself.
Oh, well, say, it's kind of like a busman's holiday for you, huh? Have an enjoyable stay here, and I'm sorry that we misconstrued who you were, but now I guess we've got
it. I'm glad it's cleared up anyway.
Okay, well, we could go over there and sit down, and there he goes. Jack Bailey, our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's sitting right in the front row, and I hope you will come back and see us again sometime, Jack.
Well, all depends on what they say when I get through with my wig.
Mm-hmm.
Step right up, folks, and see little Egypt to a famous devil of pyramids. She walks, she talks, she claws on a bear like a reptile. Just one thing down, one tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks!
I went and bought myself a ticket and I sat down in the very first room. They pulled the curtain up and when they turned the spotlight way down low, little Egypt came out strutting wearing nothing but a button and a bow, singing, singing.
Texas on a tour. She laid her hat down and she did the hoochie coochie real slow. When she did a special number on a zebra skin, I thought she'd stop the show. Triple somersault, and when she hit the ground, she winked at the audience, and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy tattooed on her spine, saying Phoenix, Arizona, 1949. Yeah, but let me tell you, people, little Egypt doesn't dance there anymore. She's too busy mopping and taking care of shopping at the store.
After you told me that you were really leaving, at first I had my doubts, but now I'm believing. 'Cause when you were still here, you were really gone. But now that you're not here, you're not really gone. It's not too late. It's not too late, boy. It's not too late, but it's later than you think. You say that you're happy, but I know you're lonesome. You say you got things to do, but I don't think you got them. Take it easy, it's not so hard to smile. So take it easy, your old time, you will come back after a while. You say that you'll find friends who do what you want better. When you had money, you weren't funny. You made your excuses when it wasn't sunny. It's not too late. It's not too late, boy. It's not too late, but it's later than you think. It's not too late. It's not too late, boy. It's not too late, but it's later than you think. So take it easy. It's not so hard to smile. So take it easy.
wie die Lüste. Ich sprach nie wie ein Grab, lachte niemals wie eine Tür. Tanzte nie wie ein Stuhl, war unglücklich wie ein Stein. Mein Herz war hart wie Eisen, meine Haare fad wie der Regen. Meine Haut rau wie Kreide, meine Brust platt wie ein Brett. Ich war kalt wie ein Kühlschrank und trist wie eine Autobahn. Grau wie ein Elefant, träge wie ein endloser Tag. Kalt, steif, traurig. Stumm, langweilig.
Plötzlich ist alles anders.
Ich bin heiß wie ein Ofen, gelenkig wie eine Schlange. Fröhlich wie ein Spatz und amüsant wie ein Affe. Ich rede wie ein Papagei und tanze wie ein Kreisel. Lache mich so schön zu sehen, bin glücklich wie ein Fisch im See. Mein Herz ist weich wie Watte, meine Haut so sanft wie Samt. Meine Brüste sind rund wie Brötchen.